When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Scott Chu.
Yo, everybody. Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast. My name is Scott Chu. Today is August 11th. It's a Thursday. We're going to talk about some baseball. We'll get to the injuries and transactions first. Julio Rodriguez continues to progress well and will likely be activated tomorrow, Friday. So get real excited about that. Orlando Arcia hit the IL due to an injured hamstring, which led to the call-up of Atlanta's top minor league prospect, Vaughn Grissom. More on him in a bit. Elias Diaz, a popular streaming catcher this week, because he's up in Coors, hurt his hand while swinging the bat, and he's likely to get an MRI. He may miss some time. You may need to look for another catcher for the rest of the week. Michael Wacha is going to be recalled on Sunday to face the Yankees, which, that's a terrible place to go for a guy that's probably not good enough to deal with it. So just letting you know, if you haven't heard yet, Lance McCullers will be activated on Saturday against the A's, and he really should be activated everywhere for it for fantasy purposes. McCullers hasn't been stellar in his minor league outings, though, giving up 16 hits and 10 earned runs in 13.1 innings, though it is also worth noting that he struck out 13. Ian Anderson is also likely to be recalled on Saturday. He'll face the Marlins. That's something you can probably get excited about. And for those waiting on Dustin May, he's likely to make one more rehab start on Sunday before being activated in the latter half of next week, which lines him up to probably face the Marlins as well. Unlike McCullers, though, Dustin May has been lights out in the minors, posting a 1.69 ERA and 0.94 whip in 5 starts so far, with 26 strikeouts in just 16 innings. Dustin May's also worked his way up to 5 innings in a start, so my guess is that he's going to try to go 6 this Sunday. Bryce Harper remains behind schedule on his thumb in recent reports and hasn't even been able to face live pitching yet. Until he does, we're not really going to get a clear look at when he'll be back. David Bednar is still about a week away from starting to throw, which is when we'd get a more definite timeline for his return. So you can keep holding on to Will Crow, though more about the Pirates bullpen in just a little bit. Joey Bart, who'd been hitting .289 and slugging .469 since the break, has a sprained ankle. He was available on an emergency basis, but a trip to the IL may be in store. Jack Flaherty now has 2 rehab games under his belt and has allowed just a single hit, a home run, in 7 innings of work while striking out 9. He'll likely be activated before the end of the month. And then Wander Franco could start taking batting practice this weekend, which will give us a much better look on when he may return. And then if you missed it, Kyle Lewis, who we hoped would show off some power and speed, has been sent down to the minors in favor of Dylan Moore, who was activated off the IL. Did steal a base yesterday, and we're hoping he can show some power and speed, but he's not really a factor in 10 and 12. As far as hitting performances from yesterday, I'll start with Leody Taveras. He went 2-for-4 with a double, a triple, a run scored, and 5 RBI. Taveras had been slumping terribly since the break, and the 2 extra base knocks yesterday were as many as he'd had in the prior 75 plate appearances combined. Taveras' aggressive approach leads to extended hot and cold spells for him, and maybe this is the start of another heater if you want to look at it positive. Vaughn Grissom, as I talked about before, of Atlanta, he went 2-for-4 with a home run, 2 run score, 2 RBI, and a stolen base. The combo meal debut is a nice touch for a guy who may be fantasy relevant for his power and speed. I hate that Grissom is likely to hit 9th in this lineup and that Arcia could be back in about 2 to 3 weeks. But until then, Vaughn Grissom is worth a look as a 4th or 5th outfielder in formats that need that many outfielders due to that power speed blend. That said, temper your expectations as Grissom didn't even have 100 AA plate appearances under his belt, and it's hard to make that kind of dramatic transition smoothly into the major leagues. Kyle Isbell, a rookie who's been struggling a bit this season for the Kansas City Royals, went 2-for-4 with a double, 2-run score, 2 RBI, and a stolen base. And over his last 5 starts, the rookie Isbell is hitting .412 and slugging .941 in his last 5 games. Of course, with 5 extra base hits and a stolen base, he's also striking out a lot, nearly 40% of the time, but he's hot, and those in dynasty formats are allowed to get a tiny bit excited about it. Brandon Drury, the other guy the Padres traded for. He went 2-for-5 with a home run, 2 runs scored, and 4 RBI. He slowed down a bit since joining the Padres, which maybe has a little to do with leaving Great American Ballpark, but more likely, it's just Drury's natural ebb and flow. I'm not too worried about him, but it is worth noting he has been a little bit slower. JD Davis of the now San Francisco Giants went 3-for-4 with a home run and 2 runs scored. He's striking out too much, but JD Davis is getting hits as a member of the Giants, and he's getting playing time, making him a streamable third baseman if you're desperate, but he's probably better deployed as a streaming corner infielder. And Daniel Vogelbach, now of the Mets, he went 2-for-5 with a double, a run scored, and 3 RBI. And Vogelbach is certainly hot right now and worth a stream until he cools off. I'm not saying that Vogelbach doesn't look like a better player than the Vogelbach of years past, because he does. I'm just saying it may not last forever based on his history. So if you want to get a piece of this action of Daniel Vogelbach, you should probably act swiftly. It could fall out at any time. His plate discipline really comes and goes, particularly the strikeout rate. He'll always walk a lot, but the strikeout rates could become untenable. So really keep an eye on that. Starting pitching performances from yesterday, Justin Steele went against the Nats. He got 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 8 hits, no walks though, and 9 strikeouts. He's an okay pitcher, really just taking advantage of soft matchups. And Justin Steele will get these Nationals again his next time out. Keep rolling him out there, but keep in mind that a lot of his recent success is likely matchup. Tuki Toussaint, yes, Tuki Toussaint is back with the LA Angels. He went against the A's. He got a no decision on 5 innings pitched, no earned runs, just 2 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. The command was great, and it was more than good enough to beat a bad A's offense, but it may not be enough when he faces the Mariners next time out. So I'm really going to be watching for that start before I make a lot of moves in 12-teamers. Kyle Wright of Atlanta, he went against the Red Sox. He got the win on 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. The results were good, but the fastball was 2.5 ticks below where he sat this season, so that's obviously of concern. I'm going to be keeping a close eye on that. Robbie Ray of the Mariners went against the Yankees, and he got a no decision on 6.1 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, and 7 strikeouts. And really, the issue here is that Robbie Ray had no command of his four-seamer. So when you think about it that way, this was a very positive result considering the circumstances. Jose Quintana of the Cardinals, he was in Colorado. It didn't even matter. He got the win on 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. His command and approach remain stellar. So expect good things in his rematch with these same Rockies in Missouri next week. I think he can be even better than what he showed here. But again, it's all about the fact that approach and command are stellar. That's something veterans can do. It just, if it falls apart, he could become very hittable very fast. Noah Syndergaard of the Phillies, he went against the Miami Marlins. He got a no decision on 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Until the command improves, this might actually be close to the upside for Thor right now. He just does not have that that art of pitching, as the Tigers broadcast would say. It's just not there. Jim Price would probably abscond him for that, but that's just what's going on with Syndergaard right now. Just not a lot of command, not a lot of art of pitching. So Jeffrey Springs of the Rays, he went against the Brewers. He went 5 innings pitched with 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts, 16 whiffs in this one. The command and the changeup for Jeffrey Springs were locked in against these Brewers. That's exciting news, though maybe not exciting enough for me to be happy about starting Springs against his next opponent, which is the Yankees next week. Aaron Civale of the Guardians, he went against the Tigers. He went 4 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, no walks, and 4 strikeouts. The Guardians are being very slow and methodical with Savale's return, which suggests he should get closer to 75 to 80 pitches in his next start, which would be more than enough to get a quality start against the Tigers next time out. Yeah, he'll get the Tigers again, and he's right-handed, which means it's an automatic start in pretty much every format. Nestor Cortes of the Yankees, he went against those Mariners. He had a quality start, but just barely. He had 6 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, but 10 strikeouts and 18 whiffs. And really here, it was 3 things all working together. Yes, Nestor Cortes has deception, but also his command and velocity were top notch for him. And all 3 of those things working together will lead to a lot of strikeouts. I love seeing it. So really exciting to see him do that against a decent Mariners offense. And then Nick Pivetta, he got the loss against Atlanta. He went 6 innings pitched with three earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. And this result was fine. I just wanted to point out that this is not a sign of improvement. This is just within the very reasonable range of outcomes for Nick Pivetta. He's going to remain a very volatile starter, probably for the rest of the season, because his command is just too in it. As far as relief pitching performances from yesterday, Emmanuel Clase now has 3 saves in 4 days. He continues to be an elite closer. A little more on the Guardians bullpen in just a bit. Paul Sewald also continues to impress as he notched a clean 8-pitch save after teammate Diego Castillo got a 13-pitch hold in his return from the IL. Of course, Paul Sewald is locked in as that closer, and anyone who took a chance on him earlier in the season must be pretty happy about it. Colin Pochet got another blown save as that rising fastball of his is not quite getting located where it needs to be. If you've been holding Colin Pochet anywhere as a potential saves guy, you might be able to drop him. He'd been a little better lately, but he's really only viable in save and hold leagues. And even then, he's probably pretty replaceable. And then Roman Wick locked down his second save in 3 days, giving him 3 good decisions in his last 3 appearances. Look, the Cubs aren't good, but closers can still perform quite well on bad teams, as any wins the Cubs get are probably going to be the type that qualify for a save. Now, before we get any further, we'll take a quick break, and we will be back right after.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
This. And we are back just in time to go to our guy, Mark, with the weather. Mark, take it away.
Thank you very much. Well, it looks like today should be quieter weather-wise with the headache from Baltimore fresh in our mind from yesterday. The only game is an afternoon game that could have some rain, and this is going to be the Cardinals at the Rockies as they finish up their 3-game series. Looks like some scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly west of Denver, but some could drift off the mountains and cause a little bit of a problem, but I'm not expecting to postpone it. Anyways, I'll talk to you tomorrow, and good luck. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate that input as always. As far as pitching streamers for the day ahead, Edward Cabrera's command was not great in his first game back, but the stuff is so nasty he can probably get away with it against the Phillies. Zach Plesac is right-handed and facing the Tigers, so as I said earlier, that's an automatic stream. And then young Nick Lodolo has been erratic at times, but the Cubs are a vulnerable team, and I think he can take advantage of that. As far as vulture save opportunities, David Robertson is more likely to get the call than usual with Sir Anthony Dominguez during 2 consecutive days and getting 2 consecutive saves. He's probably going to get a day of rest, so if the Phillies need him, David Robertson will be there. I mentioned Will Crow earlier in the show, but he needed 25 pitches to get a hold yesterday and now has 30 pitches in his last 2 games, so look for Yerry De Los Santos to get a save if there's one for the taking for the Pirates. And Emmanuel Clase and James Karinchak have had heavy workloads the last few days, leaving Trevor Stephan as the likely closer today if needed for the Guardians against the Tigers. Hitting guys I'm looking for, Rockies are always good streamers, but especially when they face a luck-driven guy like Dakota Hudson, there isn't a lot of good luck for pitchers up in those mountains, so I think the Rockies could absolutely annihilate him. I'll take both righties and lefties in that one. And then the Reds face Drew Smyly, who isn't known for his consistency, of course, so righties like Jonathan India, Nick Senzel, and Kyle Farmer all make for good streamers. As to scrappy infielder Donovan Solano, who's riding a 7-game on-base streak and hitting in the heart of the order, usually around 5th. So with that is all the show I've got for you today. Thank you so much for listening. Please check out the stuff on the site. The hitter list is up. I put it up last night at about 9 o'clock. We've also got, of course, the batter's box. We've got the SP roundup. We've got everything you want to win fantasy baseball leagues, and now is the time to get ahead, as many league mates of yours have probably shifted over to football. This is where you can get even more points than you thought you could in Roto, or to get more wins in categories in head-to-head leagues. This is the time to strike, so please check out the stuff on the site to make sure you can do that. And with that, have a great rest of your day. Again, my name is Scott Chu. You can find me on Twitter at IfTheChuFits, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.